9:38 on a Sunday morning in South Florida, which makes it 6:38, bright and early, maybe not even bright. Sun hasn't come up yet out there on the West Coast in San Francisco. And joining us now on the line is Gary Van Sickle, golf writer for Sports Illustrated, as he is out in San Francisco covering the 8th edition of the President's Cup at Harding Park, and he joins us now. Gary, good morning to you. Thank you so much, first of all, for getting up so early for us. Really appreciate it.
Well, I'm already out walking the Harding Park, checking the pin positions for the... Are you buying any of that?
Not so much, because I know we called you at your hotel, so I'm actually not buying it.
Well, I have call forwarding to my cell. I'm on the 7th green, and I'm just very important for me to check the pin positions while it's still dark out. I'll tell you what, I would vote right now, Harding Park, you should make this the permanent site of the American side of the President's Cup. The golf course is great, the players love it. And I think the big thing is the amount of the fans are unbelievable. I mean, we haven't seen crowds like this at any President's Cup. They're enthusiastic. I mean, it's San Francisco, it's a big city. There's no PGA Tour event here. They're kind of golf-starved. All the big names are here. The crowds are huge. I mean, they're three deep at every green. It's like a Ryder Cup atmosphere and then some. As far as numbers, you don't hear quite the roars, but there was nothing like this at the Robert Trent Jones Golf Club in Virginia. This is a great site for this event. I'd like to see it come back here, you know. Plus, selfishly, I'd like coming back to San Francisco, but I think they should make this a permanent deal. This place is great.
Yeah, and last time we saw golf there at Harding Park was 4 years ago at the American Express, where Tiger and John Daly got in that playoff, and Daly misses the two-footer, and Tiger ends up winning it. And you know, fast forward 4 years, and this is the venue for the 8th edition of the President's Cup. And through 3 days, the Americans have that three-point lead, 12.5 to 9.5. It seems that they really got hold of this... of these matches Saturday morning with the alternate shot foursomes, 3.5 to 1.5, because after 2 days, the Americans were only up by a point. But yesterday morning, that phenomenal comeback victory by Stricker and Woods, and now we go into today's final 12 singles matches, and the internationals really need a miracle, or else the Americans are going to notch their 6th victory here in the 8th edition.
Yeah, you know, it's been, I realize and I'm one of the big, you know, critics saying the President's Cup hasn't really built that significance, but every single time, I mean, it's team match play is the best format, and this week was a great example. You watch it, okay, on Thursday, maybe it's, you know, the first 2 hours, it's kind of dull. These matches are just developing. When you get to the back nine of these matches and the matches start being won and lost, if you like golf at all, it sucks you in. It's compelling. These guys are doing, you know, somebody hits a shot to turn this match around on 17. It's just a fun format, and as you said, the internationals looked like they were in deep trouble the first 2 days, and they kind of pulled it out. And then Saturday was, the Americans kind of returned the favor. Yesterday, as you said, the turning point was probably when Stricker and Tiger Woods in the last two holes went from one down to one up, and basically a 2-point swing. And as Greg Norman even pointed out last night, that was a defining moment, and really 3 or 4 shots, the difference between the internationals being 3 behind, which is a pretty tall order, or 1 behind. And that's how close it's been. And, you know, you look at those matches, those pairings today, I look at them and I can see the internationals maybe winning 6 out of the first 8.
Really?
I think they can make it close. Now, I think, you know, Fred Couples kind of backloaded his lineup as it turned out, and I like the Americans to kind of mop up at the end, but I think the internationals, there's no margin for error. I mean, that's the thing. 3 points is doable, but everybody's got to win their matches, but you got Tiger, Furyk, and Mickelson kind of bringing up the end of the order, and they're all playing pretty well, and I don't see them losing. So I think the Americans are still going to win, but, you know, I think the internationals, just like the whole week, it's been close. I think they're going to make them sweat. As soon as you start, as soon as the internationals pick off 3 or 4 of those first matches, that's going to apply the pressure to everybody else on the golf course, especially, you know, that sense of feeling the match is slipping away when you had it won. That's going to make it a lot tougher, and we've seen it happen in the Ryder Cup. The team that gets momentum, the other team starts playing worse just because they see all the blue numbers in the board.
Right.
I still think it's going to be a close race down to the end.
Gary, what are some of those matchups early on that have you thinking internationals could get an early lead there?
Well, I just look at those first groups. You know, the Camilo Vichegas, Hunter Mahon in the opening one, that could go either way. They both sat out yesterday. They're both rested. I don't know about that one. I think Stuart Sink is probably going to win his match. But after that, those next six matches, I see them all going the international way. Mike Weir's probably played maybe the best of anybody on the international team other than Tim Clark. I think he's going to be tough to beat. I don't have the pairings right in front of me. Robert Allenby is playing tremendous. His putting isn't up to snuff, but he's hitting the ball really well. He's playing Anthony Kim, who's
Kim's
probably played the worst
struggling.
Of anybody in the American team. I mean,
sure.
I think that one's probably a slam dunk. You get Roe Ishikawa against Kenny Perry, the youngest guy in the field versus the oldest guy. Yeah, I got to go with youth on that one. This Ishikawa kid looks like he's really a player. The six matches in a row there, after the first two that really look like. Steve Stricker's playing Jeff Ogilvy, I think. Steve Stricker looked wiped out last time. I mean, he's played great, but he looked exhausted.
You think he's hit a wall, possibly?
Well, it almost looked like he hit the wall at the 16th hole yesterday. All of a sudden, he started coming up short and kind of ran out of gas, and Tiger brought him in. So I'm concerned that he might not be able to get back up. And Ogilvy, who didn't play well, but he got rested yesterday. He didn't play in the morning. You know, that could be the difference, getting his game back a little bit in the afternoon. He could have come out today and play well. And these could all be wrong, but
sure.
You could see where the possibilities there that you can see the Internationals winning five or six out of seven matches there, and now they're right back in it. It's going to come back down to the last four. Norman had a good strategy. He's got guys early in the lineup that can win, and Fred Couples has got a good strategy. He's got his big guns at the end to take care of business. So.
Yeah, Tiger, Furyk, and Mickelson there at the back end for the Americans. Russ Evans with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, joined on the line by Gary Van Sickle, golf writer for Sports Illustrated, live in San Francisco. Final days, 12 singles matches later on at Harding Park Golf Course, and the Americans going into today a 3-point lead, 12.5 to 9.5. Americans only needing to win five matches today to win the President's Cup for a sixth time, and the Internationals needing to win eight of these 12 matches today. And, Gary, you alluded to Stricker possibly hitting a little bit of a wall there, and Tiger birdieing. You know, they were six up with six to play yesterday thanks to Stricker's seven birdies over the opening 12 holes. Guy shot a 64 on his own ball. But Ishikawa and Yang made a little bit of a run there. They won three consecutive holes to push it down. You know, then they had to do that. They were dormy, so they had to win to advance. And it was three up with three to play coming to a 16th, and then Tiger did birdie there with that little 50-yard pitch that got to about 4 feet, made the 4-foot putt. Stricker and Woods, the most successful pairing in 30 years in team play since Larry Nelson and Lanny Watkins at the 1979 Ryder Cup, and I just find it interesting. Usually this happens, unless it's Phil Mickelson, whoever's paired with Tiger usually plays well.
Yeah, well, that's it. They've had a tough time finding a partner for Tiger over the years in the Ryder Cup and President's Cup. Somebody who, you know, Tiger needs to be in his own comfort zone. And he's comfortable, but it's hard to find somebody to play with him who's comfortable and who's concerned. You know, feels like Tiger's comfortable with them. I think in Tiger's case, he needs to have somebody he can lead, like a Chris Riley or a Steve Stricker. And I think he really needs to be paired with somebody he doesn't really view as a challenge or a threat to his own supremacy in golf. I mean, that's why he and Vijay don't get along. I mean, Tiger's kind of like Hogan. He wants to beat everybody there is all the time. And, you know, you take the number two player in the world like Phil and put him with Tiger. Well, Tiger doesn't really want to befriend him and let him in on anything he knows or give him any secrets or let him be behind the facade of impregnability that Tiger has built up. So I think that's one problem Tiger's had over the years in finding a partner. And, again, as you mentioned, it's hard to find a guy who can relax enough to play well with Tiger. And Tiger and Stricker have gotten paired together quite a bit the last couple of years. They've become friendly. Steve Stricker's an easygoing guy from Wisconsin, maybe the nicest guy on tour. There's nobody doesn't like him. So it's a good pairing. And Tiger, the fact that Stricker's a great putter and a really good iron player, I mean, Tiger's loving that. You've seen it this week. Tiger's on cruise control. In fact, it's hard to say exactly even how good Tiger's playing because Stricker's played so well.
Right. It's almost like Jordan was with the Bulls, coasting there early on in the game, letting the other guys on the floor get involved, Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, John Paxson, whatever it is. And then when he's needed, he puts the cape on, just like it was in the alternate shot morning match yesterday when Tiger made the 25-foot birdie putt at 17, then hits 3-iron to 8 feet for eagle at 18, and then, you know, Tiger birdies 16 yesterday to end that afternoon match against Yang and Ishikawa. And, Gary, you know, it's a no-brainer who the best players for the Americans are.
Absolutely. I mean, you saw it. It's you know, Phil Mickelson got his putter back at the Tour Championship, and he's been on fire really the first until the afternoon matches yesterday. He just played phenomenal. Tiger's been on cruise control, played solid, and risen to the occasion when he had to. Stricker's played great. And I tell you what, Jim Furyk has played phenomenal. He basically won that match yesterday afternoon playing by himself. Anthony Kim was really no help until the last couple holes where he did run in a He did top Cabrera's birdies at 15 and 17 to save the match, but you know Furyk played these other two guys by himself yesterday, and I'm telling you, it was something to see. Those four guys, you know, other than unless a fatigue factor sets in for you know maybe Furyk or Stricker. I mean, well, Stricker I think possibly too, but you know, those guys are not looking like somebody who's going to get beat tomorrow. I mean, today. Yeah, it is today.
Gary, last thing for you, and we've got about 30 seconds left. I wanted to get in more depth into the captain's picks, but we're out of time. Just a thought on Greg Norman, Ishikawa, Adam Scott, where his captain's picks is looking like International is going to lose this thing again for a sixth time. What are your thoughts on Greg Norman? Perhaps, is any chance that he comes back in 2 years in Australia?
Yeah, I think a very good chance he comes back. I think they're going to want an Australian captain, and you know, if you're going to get an Aussie, who better than Greg? You know, I think his picks have worked out okay. Adam Scott has played decent. Ishikawa's played really well. I mean, that was a great pick. And let's be honest, if you didn't take Adam Scott, who would you have gotten that would have been really a lot better? I don't think there was anybody. I think in retrospect, Norman made the right call. And like you said, I think they're going to make a run at it today. I would not be shocked if they did win, but I think they're going to make a run and get close.
Interesting. So Gary Van Sickle, not shocked if the Internationals pull an upset today and win this thing. He is the golf writer for Sports Illustrated, joining us live from San Francisco. Gary, thank you so much for the time this morning. Really appreciate it.
No problem.
There he is, Gary Van Sickle, golf writer for Sports Illustrated, joining us here on Golf Exchange.